I'm excited and I feel relaxed and I'm ready to party! Hey, smooth,
gentlemen, move. Welcome to the podcast of Those Two Girls.
Here we go.
Hey guys, last night on the project, Mick Fanning was talking about his retirement. And I was looking at his face, a very handsome, a very masculine, chiselled face. I reckon he must be the easiest face to draw. He'd be so easy to do a caricature of.
Can you draw?
No, I cannot, but I reckon I could draw him. He has a very easy head to draw.
Can you do it?
Do it.
Get a photo up and do it.
Well, I've got a photo of him.
Is he a screensaver?
That was way too fast.
I reckon he's got the easiest jawline.
While you're doing that,
okay.
While you're doing that, Sarah, yep. I have a question for you. What? How regularly do you Google those two girls?
Oh, she's just out
no,
of
I don't. I don't.
So, do you know what the related searches are for those two girls? If you search it on Google,
no.
I'm going to go through them with you.
It's going to be something rude.
Lee's car law husband.
Oh, that's so annoying. Mm.
Sarah Wills Brisbane.
And that's where I am, people.
Dane Carlaw wife.
Oh! Sarah
Wills husband.
Mm.
Dane Carlaw wedding. And those two girls with the number two.
Wow.
Dane, if you're listening, rack off. I'm busy drawing Mick Fano.
Yeah, that's funny. The good thing is my husband has no digital footprint whatsoever. Like none. He is so anti-social media. He's one of those people who just uses his phone to text and call and check the weather. That's it. That's it, because he's a farmer.
I love the idea that he has a smartphone purely for the weather app.
Yeah, and he checks his emails, but like no... When I talk about something on Facebook or Instagram, yeah. He just doesn't get it, never has.
I love that.
Not on LinkedIn, nothing.
Guys,
look at this drawing of Mick Fanning.
That looks like Barack Obama.
It does you not, to, guys. Look
you
at
You need
his.
To put that on your Instagram and
that
tag him.
That is a mate. If you cannot look at that and go...
I think
I'm
if you put that on Instagram,
on
no, don't put a shark fin in.
That is Mick Fanning. Can I tag him?
That's Obama. Yes. That's Obama. It's and that has just Obama. Ruled us out of any kind of interview with Mick Fanning if you put up there and say that looks like him.
Go on.
I just said he's a very handsome man. He's
well,
got
in
that
your drawing,
chiseled.
He's got a large portion of his skull missing.
That's okay.
I prefaced it, Sarah, by saying I'm a terrible drawer. I'm just saying he has that classic chiselled jaw, which I haven't reflected
I
in
I think
my
what we have
around.
Here is a fact that I can apply to you. Just alter it for drawing.
Ready? I'm taking a photo.
Stupid people thinking they are clever and clever people thinking they aren't is called the Dunning-Kruger effect.
I love the Dunning-Kruger effect. I could talk to you at length about it.
Well, start.
Well, so here's the thing with the Dunning-Kruger effect. It's cognitive bias that makes you believe you're really smart about a topic that you don't know anything about.
Oh, yeah.
But because you're not smart enough to actually understand the topic,
yes.
You're also not smart enough to realize you don't know anything about it.
Ah.
So this is where you see people, political circles are the main place you see it, where people who go on and on and on about how wrong something is, and you're sitting there thinking, everything you're saying right now is such a limited perspective.
Yeah.
It's because of Dunning-Kruger. So they're literally, when they're talking, they're like, there's no other possible way they could be more to this story than what I know right now.
Okay.
But the thing that makes Dunning-Kruger amazing is the cognitive bias that they're right. Like, there is no concept
yes.
in their mind that they don't know what they're talking
about. And
they
about. Can't be swayed either way. You can't provide them with... Like, let's think, like anti-vaxxers, for instance, that
anti-vaxxers
kind of thing.
Is such a prime example of yeah. Dunning-Kruger. And they would say the same about
yes.
pro-vaxxers.
Yes.
But, I mean, that's the thing when you look at anti-vaxxers. We're going to get so many messages about this. But when you look at anti-vaxxers, it goes down the line of them, the confirmation bias that they have as well makes it even worse.
Yeah.
So they see 100 studies that say vaccines don't cause autism.
Yeah.
And then they see one with no medical basis whatsoever that says it does.
Yeah.
And they go, well, that one's right.
Yeah, right.
All the other ones are being paid off by the government.
Yeah, how interesting. And if we apply that same Dunning-Kruger theory to people who think they can draw.
I've stuffed it. I've given him a 5 o'clock shadow now. I don't know why I had to go and like try. Oh, no, now he doesn't look like Mick Fanning.
Can I give you another one? And maybe people listening will be nodding their head at this. I know I did when I read it. The Dilbert principle is that the worst staff are put in middle management to limit the damage they can cause.
Wow.
As Owen Wilson would say.
Wow.
Because you know that producer Benny will be listening.
I know.
And then
he'll be happy.
We're over Owen Wilson.
The Peter principle holds that people The Peter principle holds that people are always promoted beyond their ability, which is why Lise and I have a radio show. When there needs to be like a car law thing.
I mean, guys, okay, am I posting this on Instagram?
Yes,
like
do
actually
it. Do
on
it.
A tile? Actually on a tile?
Do it.
Are you doing it on those two girls, which is at Lise and Sarah?
I just need a good photo of him to create a collage. I mean, look at it. It's exactly what I've drawn.
You're blind. I've told you to get those pterygiums on your eyes sorted.
Shut up. Do not have pterygiums.
What were the other
things? Who owns the account at those two girls?
What do you mean? We do.
Someone does on Instagram. Who is it, though?
It's us.
No, at those two girls.
Oh, yeah, there were a couple of ladies who were in real estate over in America, I think.
It's time to get some legal action.
We figure no one's going to take Lise and Sarah.
That's all
thanks
I'm
to
say.
Lise's weird first name. Lisa and Sarah, sure, that's gone. But Lise, no. Elise and Sarah, maybe.
Guys, on the podcast today, sorry, I'm just like... not really listening to Scott and Sarah today. I'm just doing my own thing.
That is so different.
That is something we've never witnessed.
Why do you think Scotty and I are so much closer?
I was...
sometimes forget her name.
Lies.
Good morning. It's those two girls with Sarah and her friend.
And you're like, rhymes with fleas.
Mm. I'm happy with that because that way people can pronounce it. If they say fleas, they can... say Lise. Okay,
yeah.
It's not that hard. On the podcast today, I asked for advice about whether or not I should be forcing my son Remy to take up a team sport.
Yeah. Why AFL, can I ask?
It sort of came about because my father-in-law played AFL at a competitive level back in the day in Adelaide. And... Remy's quite tall and quite lean, and my father-in-law thinks that that's probably the best ball sport for him to have a crack at.
There's no hiding. Dane is.
I mean, people are Googling Dane in your name.
Yeah, so Dane's played for the NRL.
Yes.
How does he feel about Remy not playing league?
He couldn't care less. He's never wanted Remy to play league.
Wow.
And he's never wanted our family to go down that path.
Wow.
Dane's an introvert and he's moved on from league, from his career. He had a really beautiful career and the opportunities that he was given were out of this world and he's very grateful for all of that. But there's also another chapter to our lives.
He was telling me about a City Rowers card he got for the nightclub that used to be in Brisbane where he could get unlimited free drinks. So the opportunities he were given were out of this world.
Yeah,
but you know, there's some families.
But I think that's a really beautiful fatherly thing that he doesn't want Remy to feel like he has to live in his shadow.
No.
That just because he was really good at NRL, he has no expectations on his son's plural.
Yep.
I'm assuming with Maxie as well to play and have that kind of like, oh, that's Dane Carlaw's boy.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you didn't catch it.
Dane would just be cringing on the sidelines if any of the other dads might, you know, realize or recognize him or anything.
Totally.
It's just not his thing.
I went to a rugby school and I have a number of cousins who also went to the same school and their dads were old boys of that school.
Yeah.
And if one of them did consider playing soccer. And when I heard about that, I was just assuming that he wouldn't be at family Christmas the next year. I just assumed that that was him done and dusted with the family because he wasn't playing rugby for the school.
Yeah.
It's okay. He did end up playing rugby, so he's still part of the family.
I think if the kids naturally go that way, but Remy has shown no inclination to go towards league, that might change. He's only eight, for the love of God.
Yeah.
But we just thought, AFL, why not?
Yeah.
Give it a crack, something completely different. Mm. My father-in-law's really excited, which is lovely. We'll give it a crack for one season. Remy is reluctant, but he's said, I'll give it a try, Mum. So I praised his bravery for trying something that he's not really into. But we did say, you might get free Hungry Jack's vouchers. That's what happens if you get, you know, if your team does well and he's like, I'm in, sign me up.
Yeah. And I do think it is that whole thing about exposing kids to something. Like, how do they know they don't like it until they... Until they try it.
Yes, I suppose. Yeah.
And then if you commit to something, you know, you have to follow it through for the season.
And if after the season he's like, it's just not my shtick.
That's fine.
I will drop it.
He's
but
tried
at least
it.
He will have tried a team sport and made some friends outside of school. That's
yep.
my thing. But we talk about it on the podcast. People who called in had opinions about it.
Mm.
And we welcome yours if you want to drop us a line on at Lise and Sarah on Instagram or on the podcast reviews, even better. Write to me what you think about it.
Yesterday we brought up a topic that I wanted to revisit today on the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Things you did in high school because you thought they would be attractive to the person you had a crush on. I'm pretty sure was it you that brought up the story about there was a book that you wanted to be seen reading?
Yeah, I remember going on an excursion and, you know, as if you don't have enough to carry on an excursion, I thought I'd put in a Bronte sisters collection book and sit in the seat reading it in the hope that I'd be seen.
What was your logic there? Like,
I don't know.
A man child would go, wow, the Bronte sisters, it's everything I've ever wanted in a girl.
She's got good literary range.
Is that what you were hoping?
Maybe, I don't know.
Because that's
also
what you were looking for in a guy, I assume.
Well, and that's the thing, like, Wills doesn't read. Nothing.
Well, you said before he reads his emails. So.
He reads his emails, yeah. And I can remember, like, every time he smiled at me, I would kind of smile back, but with this terrifying manner that looked more like Bruce from Finding Nemo.
Show us.
wouldn't be able to talk, just be like.
You seem like a schoolgirl out of a movie, and I like that.
I mean, I just wasn't on boys' radar at high school at all, which is actually a beautiful thing. At the time, I thought it was so tough because nobody was wanting to slow dance with me and drop their hand to my bum, unlike Lee's. You know, there was, you know, I wasn't hanging out at the beach on weekends and frolicking. Now, I think with hindsight, there's something really lovely because it means you are 100% your own person through high school. I knew exactly who I was, what I wanted. I wasn't defined by the boys I was dating or who were interested in me because there were just none.
You know what I thought
it was
attractive?
It was absolute crickets. I was like Mary from Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah, before you get to this, Lise.
And that's lost on
can
you
I just
you don't
say,
have the literary range.
Can I just... Excuse me.
Oh, my God.
Excuse me. Books.
That was some Dunning-Kruger syndrome that I just gave you right then.
Picnic at Hanging Rock.
Oh, that's a punish, that book, don't you think?
Oh, my gosh.
It's
of
a punish.
Of Mice and Men.
Oh, God.
The Great Gatsby.
Oh, yeah, Great Gatsby's good. I mean, sometimes getting into that old language, though, in books is hard. Like Enid Blyton books, I feel like they're a hard.
Maybe for you, but if you had the literary range that I do.
Do you know what I found attractive?
Wait, I wanted to just give Sarah some advice.
Okay.
If there's one thing that the great Taylor Swift has taught me.
Shake it off.
Which you can use with your daughters, and you obviously used in high school. She said this great line, in your life, you'll do things greater than dating a boy on the football team. I didn't know it at 15. So take that one.
God, it's so true.
I thought, like, I was like, this is how I need to be attractive to boys. I was like, I need to know all the lyrics to Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Oh, wow.
Remember that at dances?
I mean, that was a terrible song.
I mean, but you had to know the lyrics because the boys were watching. And if you knew the lyrics to Smells Like Teen Spirits, boom,
I only knew this
swish,
bit.
through the hoop. Hand on ass.
La, 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 la.
No. That sounded
that was
like
all I knew.
Lady Gaga just
in fact, I would just take myself out until they brought on the Grease Mega Mix again.
This is the best song at a dance.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was, Sarah.
No.
This was like...
You can't dance to it. You're just jumping around like a loony, getting all sweaty.
Yes. No. Wasn't that the ultimate song at a dance?
What? Yes. Why did Aaron just go
running?
Why
did Aaron
just sprint out?
What just happened?
Is that on really loud out there?
No.
Okay, good.
What did you do, Scotty?
We went off air for 12 seconds because I wasn't concentrating.
During the show?
Yeah.
So why is he running out now? Didn't that happen an hour ago?
He's saving it from going to air in Brisbane.
Oh. Yeah. Gee, he's good.
Yeah.
He's very good.
I don't know how he's going to save it, though. Like, it's just...
We need a little opener done, like, tech issues with us.
I wouldn't say tech, just any issue.
Any issues with us.
He's going to start.
He's like Captain
issues.
Planet, like, you know.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Okay.
Aaron...
Hopefully he does,
he's our
Josh,
hero.
Does, when he puts
gonna
the podcast
take,
together,
take issues down to
does
the
he
hero.
Listen to the whole
Don't
thing?
Put when my
he,
mic
when absolutely. He listens, damn it! Who? So we need to decide on an opener without.
Let's
him
just make. Okay, can we just so give the listeners a bit of background?
If it's in the middle,
hold on. You're gonna need to go on Sarah's mic. I haven't got that one on.
What, Josh?
if it's in the middle of the break, he won't hear it.
Great. Well, this is
okay,
in the middle.
Guys. Just to paint a picture. Producer Aaron, one of our producers, is probably the biggest tech gun in the whole of the network.
Well, I wouldn't even say, like, he's an operational
He's
gun.
An operational
he's
genius.
A boy genius.
He's a boy genius because he's only a boy. How
he's
old
Doogie
is he?
Doogie Howser. He's about
Doogie Howser.
14.
He's not 14.
He's 21.
21, but he has the troubleshooting capacity of, you know...
Like Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs.
Jobs.
And you know what? That's what it is. It's operational troubleshooting.
Troubleshooting.
Combined with
troubleshooting with us.
That's good.
I reckon we do that.
He's back
for you. He's
I reckon we do that. I reckon we go with that.
Yeah. He's fast. He's light. He's quick on his feet. When shows go off the air. Troubleshooting with us.
Boom, boom. I like it. I'm a fan.
He'll push your buttons and boom, everyone boom. Else's.
Boom, boom. Do you know what I used to think was attractive to the opposite sex when I was in high school?
What?
My heyday was our high school musical.
Oh, my God.
No.
God, I didn't do the high school musical.
No, different. Like, ours was packed out with first 15 kids. Like,
Actually, ours was too. It was the cool, like, it was quite...
Do you know why? We went to an all-boys school and we combined with the girls' school for it, so it was...
Who did you combine with?
Loretto.
We combined with St. Laurie's.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
We combined with Laurie's, yeah. Bridget
did you, Laurie's. Like, out of sympathy, did you wear purple shirts or did you just...
No, but the Laurie's boys were...
It's Jacaranda.
Dishes.
I actually have been to a Bridgetine Laurie's musical.
Oh, did you? Which one?
They did Oliver a couple of years ago.
The best one they did was Grease. I mean, how good? Isn't that a teenage girl's dream? Like, imagine the girl who was Olivia Newton-John. She was a queen.
Was it you?
No.
Not in her back brace.
I was wearing her back brace. Need I remind you?
Were you the one who dropped out of beauty school? Beauty school dropout.
No, I think I was... No.
Who were you?
I wasn't in it, Sarah, because I was wearing a back brace.
Oh, okay, sorry.
We did a musical called Back to the 80s. And it was just like commercial pop 80s
Amazing.
Songs. And it was so much fun.
Okay, yeah. So what did you think was attractive to the opposite sex during those heyday years?
There's two things I'm now aware of that were just ridiculously late.
I'm embarrassed for him already.
Number
Go on,
one.
Tell us, because I love you. I love young Scott.
No, the current Scott sucks. Number one. Number one is such a classic boy thing.
Okay, go.
Just being loud and dramatic with your group of friends with the hope that the girls that you're interested in will be like, oh, my gosh.
He's
so
funny.
Much fun. So funny.
I love how you did that with private school boys too. Like, oh, my God. Have you seen Scott McDonald? He is
That's what I was
loud.
Hoping. And that there was like a sense of... Because at the time, I was on air here, like... In grade 12, I was actually on air here, like
Were
at the Brisbane
you?
Radio
oh
station.
My God,
yeah,
what
yeah.
a freak.
I used to do late nights here a fair bit.
Wow.
You know when the texts come up outside? It's almost like when you see in movies when the FBI comes in outside of someone's office. Now the text here to see Scotty.
He's just coming.
Keep going.
What have I done? Yeah, so I thought being like a little bit more professional than everyone else was also, but no one cared. No one cared.
I would have cared. That's very impressive.
It was impressive. I agree. Second one.
Go on.
This is something you guys are going to have to deal with. But you're
in a safe place.
Your girl.
Sarah, stop doing a penis impression with your hands on your hips and one eye closed. It's so juvenile. This is what she does. She's 37 years old and occasionally she'll just bust out a penis impression.
She is the immature one of
Look,
the team.
There she goes again. Hands on her hips.
The second one, which you guys have had to deal with, but your kids will deal with for sure.
Okay. Something about texting, something about
No. Whether it was Facebook, MySpace, MSN Messenger, Tumblr, just posting stuff that was just not enough information.
Yeah, just like left field, like just elusive and just like mysterious. Like, why has he posted?
Yes.
That he's mysterious. I need to know more. I need more information about Scott.
Yes.
That's what they were thinking.
Yes, that's what I wanted.
Okay.
And then obviously posting stuff to make it look like he had a really exciting life was in there as well.
So your first job was at a radio station?
No. My first job was retail.
Oh, yeah.
But then,
where? You can't just say retail.
I think it was Sanity, the CD store.
Oh, wow. That's cool,
that
too.
That is cool.
It was fun. It was so cool.
That is cool.
And then a rock DJ over there, opposite us.
Towards the end of year 11, I sent an email here.
Saying, guys, I've been working at Sanity for a long time now.
I know my stuff. And I was paneling, pushing buttons here for a while. And then they're like, you're allowed to do late nights.
But how did you know how to push buttons? Who taught you?
It's actually pretty easy. It looks more difficult.
But how
than it is.
Did you get in front of a panel and practice?
I was practicing. So after school, I'd come in and learn.
Okay.
And then they let me do it on my own, and
That's
then they
amazing,
let me go on
Scott.
It.
Like, you're very accomplished for a young man. What was your first job?
And now here you are on a national show.
No, but you know what is cool? If we forget about you guys for a moment, which is hard to do, Jack, our boss of this show, he and I work together here as 18-year-olds, both learning that stuff. And the fact that he's a boss and I'm on early breakfast suggests that one of us had a more successful career than the other. Oh, so.
Sarah, what was your first job?
Well, dare I say, I'm going to make a big call and just say mine will wipe the floor with others.
Oh, I think I know. I know this about you. I already know this.
Yeah.
But go on. I'll let you say.
I was a fairy storyteller.
Yeah.
What?
As my first job. So I dressed up as a fairy and did children's
Come on,
parties.
Do your opening welcome line. You must have had some sort of lame gimmick. And I bet you it wasn't a penis impression.
No. Good grief. No.
She was doing it before, Azzy. I can't say that. She was just doing it. It's a podcast. Isn't
we're
it
just
like...
saying the point that we're making is that Sarah's very juvenile.
Stop
putting
fairy,
those noises
what
next
was your
to my name.
Fairy, what was your fairy?
Well, I think it was just, like, hello, children. I mean, I was 14, so I dressed up in this huge tutu, and there was a place in Bundy that did kids' parties there, and it had forest wallpaper, and there was a giant toadstool that I sat on, and I did get in trouble for eating the cupcakes that were meant for the children. But, I mean, I was rolling in it. I got paid $15 party.
How long ago was this?
This was 1994.
At 14.
Yeah, and I would sometimes do 3 parties on a Saturday morning. I was very in demand, and that was $45 in my pocket.
What did you spend money on at 14?
No.
Bronte sisters books.
Sun in, perms, hypercolour t-shirts, and reef sandals.
What was your first job, Lizzie?
I was a Kmart checkout chick.
Great.
Yeah. It's a good job.
I moved into retail after that place eventually closed down.
Yeah.
Worked at a corner store where all the kids from school worked. You were either like a deli kid or a checkout kid.
Yeah.
Or deli kids always smelled like meat.
Like luncheon.
What kid were you?
I was checkout. I was very fast on the PLUs.
Yeah, PLUs. Loved a PLU. But I worked at Kmart before Kmart was cool. And all people came to Kmart to buy was fishing gear and those really cheap choc chip cookies. There was a lady who'd come in like monthly, Now that all makes sense. And she'd buy a trolley full of those gold and brown choc chip cookies.
I remember that.
And I had to count them because I was like, I can do. I don't need to scan all of these. Count. And then go PLU times 35. Yes. And yes. You're through. Fast.
Remember they used to do AC Cola? They had like their own brand.
Yeah, there were people coming through for the AC Cola too. Yes.
That was the days. When I look back now.
I had my first boyfriend. My boyfriend was the trolley guy.
Oh, why does that not surprise you even a little bit?
It was Stuart. It was Stuart who then wrote in pink letters, "I love you, Lees," on the road. That was Stuart, trolley boy.
I've just confessed how no boys were interested in me whatsoever. And yet here you are rubbing salt into the wound with a trolley boy who spray painted your name on the road over at Jindalee.
No, he went to BBC. We were in the same year.
How was his hat?
His boater.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Hot. Yeah. Oh, my God. I might cry.
I got my first real job. Oh, at Kmart. Dated the trolley boy.
Was the summer of 99.
99?
Me and some girls from
school. That would have been the summer of 95.
We did the school musical.
I was going to go with, snuck out to the park down the road.
And made some rocket fuel. Drank it.
Oh, when I look back now. That job at Kmart lasted forever. If you had the choice, would you still be at Kmart?
Well,
you go there enough anyway.
The staff
now.
Discount was decent, I'll tell you. See, even back then, I was on the discount hunt. It was good. I think it was like 15%. It was decent.
Yeah. I mean, there was nothing. I worked at the corner store in Bundy and saved up my money to go over to Japan. So Mum and Dad paid for my flights, and I saved up $500. And I mean, it took
nine
months of working to save $500.
Yeah,
it was. I mean, it was great because you're like, oh my God.
I know.
That's saving takes working forever. For the Hit Network. We're having a laugh, obviously.
When you're on, obviously.
did you guys buy your own cars?
No.
Or did you get help?
No, I did. I bought my first one on my own.
Like with your own money?
Yeah.
With every last cent of your own money?
Yeah.
That's a no.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm just
Sarah?
Thinking back to it.
No, Mum and Dad bought me a car.
Are you serious? I had to buy my own car. Every last cent of it. Bought my own car. Mitsubishi Colt.
Yeah. Well, Mum and Dad actually bought me a manual car to start off with, a second-hand manual car. And, I mean, given Dad's a qualified mechanic by trade, fitter and turner, you know, he knows his way around a vehicle. He gave up teaching me how to drive a manual and actually sold that car because I just couldn't grasp.
I'm going to teach Sarah how to drive a manual.
Have
and
you
then,
got your
and
manual
then I
license
got a little
yet?
Ford
Festiva. No, she
doesn't
Festiva.
Have a manual
license. Both of you are a disgrace. As do you have your manual license.
No, you
Josh?
Don't need it for city driving.
Oh, thank God. You do. It's a life
you don't.
Skill.
At
guide.
No point has anybody least? Said to me,
it's just,
can you drive this manual? Never.
But it speaks of your character.
No,
you
it
need
doesn't.
To know. It does.
Wait, do you use a washing machine or do you use a bloody washing board?
I use a washing board.
Yeah, just because you can do it an old energy sapping way doesn't
do
mean you should.
Do you know how good? I'm going to teach each and every one of you. I'm going to take you out for a lesson. You are going to feel on top of the world because then you are truly in control of a vehicle.
You know
I'm not.
You know
I actually ran
so
over
about,
Mum's hedges when I drove the manual.
That's
and there's a photo of Dad and I holding up these huge plants that I just severed with the tyres.
It, guys, it'll change your lives.
Do you know what's really good about this? Today when Jack comes up to me and goes, hey, why'd we go off air in the middle of the show today? We go, oh, man, it was my mistake. I wasn't going to turn. Hey, by the way, Lee's come up with this great story arc today. We're going to get her to teach everyone how to drive
guys,
a manual.
Guys, vote in the podcast comments if you want me to teach Sarah how to drive a manual. Do it. Let
right.
us know for the next for
Maddie's
Monday.
We've got
to
go.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Maddie's here, bye.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Guys, it's Friday. We have made it through yet another week.
Another week. And because it's the first Friday in March, Lees, that means it is Employee Appreciation Day.
Yes. Does that mean I get a day off? Because I'm here and I'm, you know, and do you want to send me home? Is that what I get in return?
You read my mind. You read my mind. No, look, today's a good reminder to let the people who work for you know that you value them.
You know what I reckon companies should do if they do celebrate this or you know, recognise this day? Why not, like, crowdsource ideas from your employees, because you don't want the bosses to just assume that they know what the people want.
Yes. You know, it's not all about perks and money.
So the week before that, you're too late now, you've missed it, but I reckon you should crowdsource ideas.
Yes, this is like the Valentine's Day for employees.
That's right. Get people to write something down, put it on a ballot paper, and then you get what you want, like free food. That would be what I'd want.
We get a free bowl of fruit here, and I appreciate that. I feel valued because they're caring about my vitamin intake.
What, those like brown bananas?
Yes.
Well, you're easy to please.
I am. That's why I'm a good employee.
Are you, though?
Shut up.
You're wearing pyjamas.
9 minutes past five. Good morning. You've got those two girls with Lise and Sarah.
I'm angry.
Lise and Sarah's.
I have never been this angry in my entire life.
Triggered.
Folks, this is the time when you can get off those little things that have bugged you during the week. Get them off your chest to us on 131060. What are the little things that have irritated you no end?
You know what gave me the rats yesterday, Sarah?
Tell me.
You know, I don't know if you noticed this, but when we went power walking yesterday on a very popular cyclist and runner path, did you notice that guy clad in Lycra had pulled over his bike and whipped out his doodle and did a little wee, actually a very long wee? All I could do was just go, how publicly do you want to urinate right about now?
Yeah, like, so
triggered.
Scotty, oncoming bicycle and runners, and he was just out there in all his glory or not.
I think it's a very female versus male thing, isn't it? Like, just because you can wee wherever you like, should you?
He didn't even try and hide, Sarah.
I feel like that's a cyclist thing, though.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the phones all light up with,
no, not negative
with middle-aged
them.
Men in Lycra.
No, I reckon they'll ring up and give their reasons why they do it.
Okay, well, I've got one, Scotty, but I'll take it down a notch. You know when you're on Facebook and you're having a group conversation with people about maybe it's a funny meme and then somebody else comes in and you're all like...
Oh, you want this one?
She doesn't even go here.
Like a stranger comes in on your thread?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't even go here.
Yeah, she doesn't even go
here. What are you doing?
Triggered.
That is.
Scotty, have you got one? What's triggered you this week, Scotty?
I'm sorry. This is very first world. But when you go to a restaurant and there's just too many options. Like, I would prefer a menu at a restaurant where there were just five meals, not like grilled, where they just have way too many burgers.
Well, why don't you just go to a servo? Just get something out of the Bay Marie then. You bogan.
How dare you? 131060, what are the little things that have irritated you this week? Get them off your chest. 131060.
Can I give you another example, Lise?
Sure, far
I was
away.
At a shopping centre and I thought I saw a park right near the entrance of the shops and I drove up, revved it in, scooter.
Oh, no.
Oh,
Sam. That is bad.
Frustrating.
You know what gets me?
What?
A little crumb on my mouse pad of my computer. Just a solitary crumb. I can't make it function.
Triggered.
And there's a crumb on my mouse pad. Am I the only one out there? Guys, Josh on 131060, what's got you triggered?
Hey, guys. I was on a plane the other day, and as it landed, people just started standing up, and I was like, guys, sit down. You've got about 10 minutes here.
Triggered.
Oh, yes, the overzealous passengers who think if they stand, they'll be first off the plane.
Eager beavers.
It just makes it more crowded.
It really does.
Okay, Josh, I can see you've still got a lot to get off your chest there, but we've got to move on to Dan on 131060. What's triggered you, Dan?
Unexpected item in bagging area.
Triggered.
Oh, my God.
That is...
It's too much.
The worst.
I mean, those things are possibly the worst invention ever. Not really, but they like when that voice comes on, it's no good for me.
At my local grocery store, when that happens, I feel like I've had a hissy fit that many times that the attendant actually stands close to me so she can swipe her card and use her PIN code to say, there's nothing there.
I do feel judged, though, by those assistants, like, you know, the Coles or Woolies ladies, because they're just waiting for you to stuff up.
Yeah, there's probably a book to be written in, in the types of personalities at self-serve checkouts.
Totally triggered.
I'd get a negative one.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
I need some help here. Should I be forcing my child to play a sport even if he doesn't want to? Sarah, this is what's happened. My 8-year-old son, Remy, has just been involuntarily signed up to AFL this season, and I'm the one who signed him up. Now, my reasons are as follows, guys. He's an athletic-looking kid. I think his abilities are probably there, but his heart just isn't in it. All he does at the moment, sports-wise, is he does swimming, which is great. He does gymnastics, but everything else is just not on his radar, which is quite unusual for an 8-year-old boy. He's probably one of the only ones in his peer group that just isn't into it. In fact, last year, he told us in no uncertain terms when we asked him, what sport do you want to try this year, Em? He said, Mum and Dad, I'm not a fan of sweating. Much to the chagrin of my husband, who was like, I can't believe he actually said that. He also told us he just wasn't a fan of ball sports, Sarah. It's just not who he is.
Well, so he's happy. The sports he's currently doing, swimming and gymnastics, are solitary pursuits.
Solitary pursuits.
So is it that he just doesn't want to look silly in a team environment, perhaps?
I've asked him that. I said, look, is the reason you're not participating because, you know, you've left it this long now and, you know, you don't know the rules, you haven't given it a crack. Is that the reason? He said, nah, I'm just not into it, Mum. He's quite firm about it.
Yeah.
And I love that he's not the type of kid to be steered by peer pressure. I love that about him. However, as a parent, I feel that an 8-year-old child doesn't really know what they're into yet. And I feel it's my job and my responsibility to expose him to team sports for one season, because I think there's so much benefit to be gained from being part of a team. I don't care about the ball skills.
Yeah.
I've told him that. I said, I don't care if you're good at it or not, but I think you'd have a cracker of a time getting to meet other kids and just hanging around on a Saturday morning. It's fun, right? Or am I just being a tiger?
No. I mean, I've signed up my 7-year-old daughter to play netball this year.
Yep.
And she's a bit nervous about doing it because, again, she's just done solitary things, swimming, dancing.
Yes.
But I want her to be in a team. And I don't care if she can catch the ball well or not, but I want that team environment so that, A, she has a social group of friends that is outside of school.
That's it.
B, starting them young means if they all look a bit silly and unco together, that's totally fine. That is what is meant to happen.
Because it's so much harder to join a team sport when you're a bit older, because then everyone's got skills,
and that's what
skills.
Happened to me. I started playing basketball in grade 6 because I was pretty tall, and I was hopeless. And that made me hate the sport more. And from then on, Mum and Dad didn't push me. But I always felt jealous of the kids who were in team sports because they did have, you know, just a whole lot more friends outside of school, and they were kind of...
It's a really tough one because Remy has a phenomenal little personality about him. He's really unique in the way he sees the world and approaches things. And I don't want to pigeonhole him. I just want to get him to give things a crack outside of what he just naturally leans into. Does that make sense?
Oh, I think you have to.
Okay,
so
13, 10, 60, should you be, I guess, forcing your younger kids to try different sports?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm asking. I need some help on this.
Lee's got the guilt, so I'm saying yes. Kim on 13, 10, 60, what do you think? Should kids be pushed into playing a team sport?
I think absolutely. It's the same as pushing kids to try a vegetable for the first time. Mm-hmm. They're going to be reluctant to do it in the first place, but I think it's the best thing for them to experience everything they can experience in their little young lives.
Kim, can I ask you something? Have you had this experience with your own children? Is the reluctance a normal part of their reaction, or should I be listening to what he's saying to me?
No, absolutely. It's a normal part. I've got a six-year-old lad and he's like, oh, I want to go do footy because he thought footy was cricket and it's really not. So we got there and he's like, oh, I don't want to get hurt. And I'm like, mate, you won't get hurt. It's Oz Kick. And we're getting him to do it because he's a bit of an introvert and I want him to get out there. And look, my daughter also, she did her first deadlift comp when she was nine and she was a little bit reluctant about getting up in front of people because she was very shy. And I think pushing them, and then afterwards, oh, she was so excited. And now she's just out there.
Oh, thanks, I love Kim. That. Okay. A deadlifting nine-year-old. That's a cracker of a sport. Brendan on 131060. What do you think? Should kids be pushed into a team sport?
Yes, I do. Not probably push, but I believe it is an important thing for kids to learn that losing and winning, the best thing about a team is that they can do that together.
Mm. Yes.
So they can lose as a team, but they can also win as a team.
I like that, Brendan. Yeah, and they're the reasons, I guess, that I want Remy to give things a go, because when you're doing individual sport like swimming or what have you, it's not quite the same thing.
No, and you can feel the weight of the world on your own shoulders as a single person, whereas in that team environment, you're all G-ing each other up or
And Remy
consoling.
Tends to be kind of the class clown, and I think he'll have a laugh with a group of other kids playing. Fleur on 131060, help me out here. Have I done the right thing by signing him up, or have I done the wrong thing?
Honestly, you've done whatever you need to do as a parent, but I wouldn't do the same thing.
Okay, talk me through, because I'm really interested in your opinion here.
I just feel like particularly you, Lise, like your young fella said pretty strongly that he's not into it. You've got him in sports. He's got opportunities for team environments in all aspects of life, not just sport. Like, there are so many opportunities at schools and in other areas of life to be a part of a team. So if he said no, he means no. But, you know, I've been a PE teacher for kids from all around the world, and there's a lot of really strong opinions that parents have. And I've found that when kids enjoy something that they find that they find their own physicality in a sport or an activity, I really think that we should embrace that, because there's so many kids who just say no to it all because they haven't had the chance to try it. So I guess I'm somewhat agreeing with you, but I also feel like for you in particular, your young fella's just gone, no, I'm not into it, but he might get something out of it. I just don't agree.
I mean, he did say to me, Fleur, he was like, I'm just not, AFL just doesn't seem like my thing, Mum, but I'd like to give dodgeball a go. Maybe I should have followed that lead. But now it's too late. I've paid my $313, Fleur. I'm stuck in AFL until bloody August.
I imagine it's probably hard to find a team dodgeball.
There is one. There is a local one. And now Fleur has just made me realise that I have not heard him. Oh, parenting fail.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Guys, there's a massive debate raging around Nestle and Milo and public health groups. Now, Nestle have removed their 4.5 health star rating. It's rated out of 5 because people are saying that there's no way it's 4.5 stars worth of health.
Yeah, because the 4.5 star rating is based on having just 3 teaspoons of Milo or TUSPs with skim milk. That gives it 4.5 star. When really, let's be honest, we're all heaping 17 plus teaspoons into our milk. The milk, the Milo to milk ratio is significantly outbalanced in Milo's favour in my household. Always has been.
So the public health groups are saying it should be 1.5 stars out of 5 at a max. In fact, the whole star rating should be removed. We have something to say about Sarah. We have something to say about this.
We have something to say about Sarah? Or about? Because I got a song about Milo.
We have something to say about Milo.
We've heard it from Nestle, telling us Milo's unhealthy. That's funny. I guess you've seen me drink.
Well, I'm too busy for star ratings. Go find girls who want to listen. Because if you think 9 spoonfuls is too much, you have got it wrong.
Flick the lid off, fanging for Milo. Because I want to stuff my face.
Pass the spoon, let's start shoveling. Time to heap it in.
Rip the foil off. I don't need your stars. Don't mess with my ratio.
Milo to milk is critical.
You say 3 spoons is enough right now, but 10 is the way to go.
Stop pouring the full cream milk in now. No one mess with my Milo.
Yeah, take that.
No one mess with my Milo, Sarah.
No.
I don't care.
If you're not putting enough in to give yourself a significant Milo cough, you're not doing it right.
Yeah, I don't
You know when you just ingest it and you're like...
I don't want to even taste milk. I just need it to be a little bit wet.
If there's milk left, I top it back up with
Me
more Milo.
Too. So do I. Can we get sent some free Milo, perhaps? Is this a cry
well,
for help?
Not from choice.
Oh, look, I'll take it from anyone.
But there is some in the staff cupboard.
Yes, I'm
Breakfast
heading there now.
Breakfast sorted.
Happy Friday, guys. Have a ripper of a weekend. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Well, that was a podcast of Those Two Girls.